There are these things that people put at the ends of emails, and I just found out you can also put them at the end of text messages. They're called emoticons. They look like smiley faces. You can do all kinds of things with those. They even have them that are animated. They show happiness and sadness and being perplexed and being questioned. And I mean, the list just goes on and on of all these things that you can find. The other day I got a text message with so many emoticons at the end of it that I wondered if the sender was having an identity crisis or a nervous breakdown. He just couldn't decide what his mood was for the moment. I look at those emoticons, and it just reminds me that we have emoticons in our life, our emotions. Sometimes we just let them hang out all over the place. And we get angry, and we get upset, and we get happy and full of joy, and we get passionate about things. And we just want everyone to know it sometimes. We had a next-door neighbor in one place that we lived that would go to church on Sunday and just get just full of joy. And on Monday, you could hear her singing all over the neighborhood. By Wednesday, she was upset about something, and you could hear her screaming all over the neighborhood, her emotions just hanging out literally everywhere she went. Those emotions help us get through life, and of course, they can get out of control at times, or they can be very beneficial to us. David showed courage in the face of Goliath. The disciples showed fear when they were caught in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible also says they showed amazement, all emotions. Anger was shown in the cutting off of the ear of a soldier when Jesus Christ was arrested. I look in the book of Acts, and I see some good Christian people getting upset over the way widows and orphans were or were not being treated. And I can just imagine in my mind the passionate speeches they were probably giving to the disciples and those in charge of the church back then. And they came up with a solution to the problem that made everybody happy and joyous once again. I look over in Philippians chapter 4 and I see a word to two ladies in the church. I beg you, and it mentions them by name, that you good Christian women get along together in the faith. And I can see them getting upset about one another and the passion and the anger and the upsetness with each other as they go at it. Emotions are with us. We get passionate about things, and sometimes our emotions go the other way and we just want to sit down and give up, or at least we feel like giving up. I have to tell you, on a day like today, when the phone started ringing with, "Pastor, I won't be there, I've got this. Pastor, I won't be there, this has happened. Pastor, I won't be there, I'm sick. Pastor, pastor, pastor," you want to just, well, I wanted to crawl under a pew and hide for a while and go back home to my own bed. You know, just, those are emotions that just affect us all. Satan can use our various style of doing things. He can use our emotions. He can use our personalities to divide us, to keep us at odds with each other, or just to some days make us feel like we're not really being a Christian, or we don't even want to be around other Christians. So what do I do with all these emotions, especially on the tough days, the days when it's going bad, the days when I want to give up, the days when passions are running high? I look to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a familiar chapter to us, familiar verses. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And then verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed. Kids, little kids have these transformer things. I don't know if they're as popular as they used to be, but they'll look like this robot, and then all of a sudden it's a car. They just pull a few things out and around, and then they can make it into a superhuman being. Some of the kids are back there going, Alex is going, "Yeah, I got some of those. Yeah, yeah." Do you have any with you today? I didn't think so. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He begins to transform us, to change us instantly. I look at that thought and I'm thinking that we are spirit, we're body, and we're soul. Our spirit is changed instantly. We are forgiven for the things we have done wrong, for the sins against God. We are clean on the inside. We are free to worship God because He has forgiven us, because He's changed our spirit, because He's transformed us, because He has put His spirit within inside of us. Someone has said that once we are forgiven, once our spirit is changed, that the body will follow suit. So in my mind, I see this person who looks like a wreck just all of a sudden look like this gorgeous person walking down a gangway somewhere. But I don't really think that's what it means. I heard a Catholic nun the other day said, if you're ugly, you're ugly. There's nothing you can do about it. But your spirit is changed. And your body starts following suit, because you start cleaning yourself up. And when you realize what God has done for you on the inside, you start transforming yourself on the outside. You start eating better. You start living better. You start sleeping better because you're forgiven. You start taking care of yourself better because you want to be God's holy temple and look like God's holy temple. Once we have been forgiven and our spirit is changed, we begin to feel that there's things that need to be removed from our lives. I think of a teenager I knew years ago. He's an old man now, but now he's a forgiven old man. Because you see, when he was a teenager, he came to Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive him of sins. And it wasn't too long that he cleaned himself up. It wasn't too long that he gave up some habits that he had gotten into that were destroying his physical body. It wasn't too long that he decided that if Jesus Christ could forgive him, Jesus Christ could also reign in his life, and that he better be living a life that honored Jesus Christ. And so he began to change things with the power of God physically that he was doing that were destroying him. His body followed suit. Old habits, unhealthy habits, unfair tactics, things that we used to do just simply get changed because God transforms us. That's our spirit. That's our body. But then when I look at Romans 12:2, it says, transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're getting into the soul part of us, the part that's going to live forever, the parts that's going to go with God into heaven someday. The soul is the mind, it's the will, it's the emotions, the emoticons. Those things that we let hang out all over the place. I look at emotions from two standpoints, the evil emotions versus the good emotions. When we renew our minds through the power of God, we begin to purify those emotions. I look over in Galatians chapter 5. And I find some emotions there that are not holy. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. And then here come some emotions. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions. I look at those things and I think hatred. Have you ever hated anybody? When you hate somebody, you can't love God. That's scriptural. There's been a couple times in my life where I've actually hated somebody. And I got to tell you that they were times when I was a teenager. One time was when I was in college. I got to tell you, I wasn't very holy in those days. I couldn't be holy because I had this great dislike and hatred towards these people because I felt they had done me wrong, whether they did or not, and I would have done almost anything to get them out of my life. That was a thing of the world. I look at those other emotions involved there, and And jealousy, we look at things that other people want and we get jealous of them because we want that. We want their life. And it can become a thing to where we all do almost anything to get what they have. I look at this fits of rage thing, and I've seen people in rage. I remember one time in college, I got so mad and so upset about something, I walked in my room and I slammed my door there on the second floor of Hills Hall so hard that it popped right back open and didn't even latch. My roommate looked at me like, am I next? It was simply because rage had gotten a hold of my life. It was an unholy thing. Why? Because my mind had not been transformed by the power of God. And I was still living, as Galatians says, in the laws of the world, in the laws of the land, trying to do it on my own power, not with God's power. Envy goes along with jealousy. And I look at those things listed there in Galatians 5, 19 through 20, and I see all this hatred and stuff, and then I see it going along with all the impurity things of life. I notice two words here. One's in Galatians 5, 19. The acts of the sinful nature. I think King James says, the works of the sinful man. I look at that acts, works. It's things that we do. Things that we carry out. But then I look down at verse 22, which says, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. My Grandpa Chambers had a huge garden. Every year he would plant tomatoes and corn and tomatoes and beans and tomatoes and potatoes and tomatoes, and it just seemed like there were tomatoes just coming out of our ears every year. They were good. It was really nice to go walking out through the garden with Grandpa with a salt shaker and pick that fresh tomato right off the vine, just wipe the dirt off it, eat it, and start pouring the salt out. It's a wonder I don't have some kind of horrible disease, because now if we were to do that, they'd tell us how unhealthy it was. We'd get the fresh corn. Grandpa had some things there that were just perennial. He had a grape arbor. Never had to do much to it. Just every year we went out and the grapes were growing on it. And oh man, those fresh grapes. Apple trees, pear trees. They were just there. I don't think he ever sprayed them. They never seemed to get full of worms or anything. We just went out and pulled the fruit off and would eat it right fresh while we were packing some up to take home. It was stuff that came from within that plant because it was nourished by the ground from the rains that came down. The fruits of the Spirit are not acts that you and I do. They're not works that you and I do. They come from God into our life because we've allowed Him to transform our minds. And once our minds are transformed, then we begin to see these fruits coming out from within. It's a byproduct of our life in Jesus Christ. We go from hatred to love. We go from dissension to peace. We go from jealousy and envy to joy. We go from rage to self-control. Because that's the way God wants us to live. And those things lead to patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. Why? Not because of any act that we have done, but because we've allowed God to get inside of our mind and to transform it so that our thought processes are completely changed. Then I have a second thought with all these things, and that's those emotions that leave us down and depressed. We have a bad day. We have a tough day. We have a things did not go well day. And they leave us totally drained. What do we do on those days? It's those days that I need to depend on the fact of Romans 12, 2. God has transformed me. He's gotten inside of my mind. And I am transformed from thinking in this negative person to this positive person in light of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I have a bad day. That's what happens. Emotions are low. Satan attacks me. God doesn't really love you. And so I need to go back and remember, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind. I can depend on God. I have low self-esteem. Someone says something to me. Satan uses that to attack me and says, well, if this person doesn't think I did very good at that, maybe I shouldn't do it anymore. If I bungled that job that I did, then maybe I shouldn't do it anymore because I'm not glorifying God. And so I stop doing things that I enjoy because of those things, and depression sets in. I have a troubling situation to deal with. That never happens to a pastor, but... yeah, sure. I panic and run. And Satan uses that against me and says, you stinking coward. I was just looking there in 1 Kings. Mary, while you were testifying, Elijah fighting the prophets of Baal. And afterwards, he ran for his life, and he ran and he ran and he ran till he was exhausted physically, mentally, spiritually. And he wanted to sit down under a tree and die. We have days like that. But I remind you, it's very simple. When you find yourself in these positions, you can do what you would normally do in your own power. Have fear, worry, anger, attempt to control the situation, attempt to change the situation, attempt to avoid the situation. Or you can do what so many of others have done, take a deep breath, talk to God about it, and get on moving forward. Remember a few weeks ago I told you, if you really want to have God's blessings, you got to pray, you got to obey, you got to pay. Keep remembering that prayer part. Well, remember the obey part and the pay part too, but you got to pray. That deep breath, that talking to God, that moving forward. As I was working on this message, a lot of different verses came into my mind about how God takes care of us. But I thought of Paul's words in 2 Timothy 1:12. I am convinced, I am persuaded, I know without a shadow of a doubt that what God has put inside of me, that I have committed my life to Him against that day, that He can keep that alive and well in my life. Well, how's your emoticons doing today? Are they full of joy and peace and happiness, or has something gone wrong there in the daily grind? I watch Facebook. I watch the emails. And I see so many people that I know just, well, they're eating lemons all day long. Life just isn't good. You need to give that over to God and allow Him to transform you into that positive powerhouse full of faith for Him. Father, speak to our hearts right now. And if anyone just needs to pray this morning, just give them the courage to hit this altar or to pray right in their seat. To allow you to totally transform them from this weak little person into this powerhouse of faith for you. For that's what we need to do. We're going to wait just a minute if anyone wants to pray this morning. And just allow God to transform you in your mind. In your mind. So that you can be all He needs you to be. Father, I just feel like someone here this morning is praying, weighing some decisions in their life, and that you're speaking to someone. I just pray, Father, whoever it is, if it's even more than one person, that you'll just help them to allow you to change them so that you can be given the glory and the honor. Father, as we go from this place today, go with us, just keeping us protected from the power of Satan that can just drag us down, and remembering that what we've given to you, what we've committed to you, you're able to keep. Father, thank you for worshiping with us today. We give you the praise. Amen.